Hi, my name's Courtney Thorpe, and welcome to More Than Just a Mum. My crew very quickly disappeared. I found it really hard to bond.
Don't go to the gym, just have a sleep.
I'm lucky enough to be joined by one of my very, very close friends today, Emily Jade. How are you?
I'm good.
Let's start off with, who are you, Em? Who are you?
God, I ask myself that every morning.
So do I.
So I'm Emily Jade. I do the breakfast show on the Gold Coast, 102.9 Hot Tomato with Christo and Gailey.
Hi, it's Emily Jade. Yeah, I thought I should introduce myself because you might not recognise me.
I am a marriage celebrant and I am a mother of two, Millie, who's 10, and Teddy, who's 3. I dabble in musical theatre.
You don't need teeth whitening. Just use green lipstick. I don't think my teeth have ever looked whiter.
I paint. Is this what you
God,
want to know?
You've got it all
I like
going.
Long walks on the beach and gluten-free pizza.
What? This is your dating profile now, Em.
I know, right? So that's who I am, I guess.
That's who you are. So you're a mum.
Yes.
And you've got a bit of a gap between your two.
Yeah. So I had a lot of trouble with having kids. I've got endometriosis. Yeah. So that played a part in my fertility journey. I've also got Hashimoto's disease. So that's a thyroid condition. So those two together just made it really difficult for me to fall pregnant. So Millie took me a couple of years. And then, yeah, Teddy took nearly 6 years of further IVF and what they call secondary infertility, even though I had first infertility.
Two gorgeous kids now.
It was worth every cent. Yeah. And I wanted to give up many times, but I'm so glad I didn't because my little boy is just like meant to be earthside.
So speaking of your little boy, that was a rough pregnancy.
Yeah, I had, this sounds like this is all the worst stuff, but I had an incompetent cervix after finally falling pregnant and just being so joyful when I was 20 weeks.
That's such a funny way to say it, an incompetent cervix.
Yes.
Like it was just.
So it was soft and opening.
Right.
Which meant that he was falling out, which...
Oh, that's not what we want.
Not what you want at 19 and 20 weeks. A viable baby is another word they used a lot, is 24 weeks. So there are some babies that have been born 21, 22, 23 weeks that have survived, but not a lot. So at 20 weeks, I had to have an operation to sew my cervix shut.
Wow.
And then I had to lie flat for 20 weeks to get him here.
Was it 20 weeks you were on the breast?
Well, really it was 18 because at 38 weeks, a baby can come along.
Right.
So
right.
Like you can get around now. So I should say 18 weeks, but 40-week pregnancy, half of it I had to lay flat.
Because Teddy's... What, 3 now?
He's 3.5,
God, that's gone fast.
Yeah, it has gone fast. It is, time does heal things. And when I was in the depths of, the infertility battle and losing babies and embryos and the cost and all of that kind of stuff, you just think this is never going to end. And now I've got this amazing child who is just the love of my life. So is my firstborn also, but she's in a tween stage at the moment. So some days I like her, sometimes I don't.
Oh, God,
But Teddy is just in that beautiful, absolutely obsessed with his mother age, and he's just my little best friend.
So out of all of that, it was a rough pregnancy, but you got through it. You've got these two beautiful kids and it was wonderful.
Yes.
I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I'm going to jump straight into this because today obviously we are talking about separation and divorce.
Yes.
And you have had a pretty devastating, year and a bit now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you went through all of that. And the bed rest and then had the beautiful boy, you had your pigeon pair. But how long after it did things start to break down with you and your husband?
Yeah, so that's a really difficult question because Teddy was about 6 months old when I realised that things weren't right. But then I, through a lot of therapy, truly I think things were starting to deteriorate because of our infertility journey. Like there was just a lot of pressure. It took its toll.
Yeah.
It just straight up took its toll on the both of us in different ways. But, for me, being a woman and open and lots of friends and we talk, I would talk out my problems.
You deal with it emotionally.
Yes. And he wasn't so much. And so then after, our child was born, he was really grappling with, why do I still not feel right? The baby is here. I should be feeling...
A little boy.
A boy, a son, men, thinking that's wonderful. And not that we cared what we had, but he was really questioning, why am I not feeling right? And so then we took ourselves off to marriage counselling.
How long did you do that for?
About 6-8 months.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went through a few. We went to a couple because, you know, if you don't find the right therapist straight away, my advice is always just keep finding the one that fits. The first one actually suggested we separate and just...
Really?
Yeah, which was...
Like a trial separation or be done leading to divorce separation?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then said, I will help you separate amicably. You've got two children to think about.
You would have felt so deflated.
I was so deflated. I would have done anything to save my marriage. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, we took about a week to sort of think about it. And then, you know, he came back and said, well, that's not what I think I want. So let's find another counsellor.
Yeah. So he was really still into saving your marriage at this stage?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I can't really talk on behalf of him, but he just had other battles happening.
Okay.
That we weren't aware of yet.
Okay.
The thing with marriage counselling that we learned very much afterwards mm-hmm. was that if you don't address your own issues, it's not actually wise to bring them into the marriage counselling room.
Yeah.
So to maybe just work out, is it your own issues first?
Yeah.
Rather than
a couple issue.
Yeah. Mm. There's a big difference, and that's what we discovered.
Right.
Eventually.
So did you then go off on your own, or you didn't at this stage? You just, this was a hindsight realisation.
This is hindsight.
Right.
Absolutely hindsight.
Okay.
Because then we did separate and we both went on our own journeys.
What happened in that moment when you did decide, that's it, we're separating? You know, he left the house.
Mm.
What was that conversation like?
The hardest conversation of my life.
Yep.
It's hard for both parties.
Mm.
I had been saying a bit along the way, like, you're not happy and I don't know how to fix this and I'm trying my hardest. If you're not happy, you need to leave. And then he wouldn't. And then one day he knew that he had to.
So it was his call
ultimately
at the end. How did you feel in that moment with it being his call? I mean, you say you knew that he wasn't happy, but when he ultimately said, that's it.
I was hysterical.
You were hysterical, yeah.
Absolutely hysterical. Like there's, I'm not ashamed to say it. And I share this part of the story because I think people, we need to learn how to break up better.
Yes.
We need to learn what breaking up is like, and no one talks about it. They actually start to talk about it with such bitterness, and there's always got to be an evil party and the person that's right and the person that's wrong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that way, and I'm only learning this through my journey.
Yeah.
But it's things I certainly wished that I had a grasp on beforehand.
Yeah. Do you think even if you did in that moment, full of emotion, that you would have been able to act on that though? I mean, I know going through it myself, I agree. There's no right, there's no wrong, but when I'm heartbroken.
You're heartbroken.
I'm heartbroken, yeah.
So the best way to look at it is, and your mind might not do this because our mind does lots of wonderful things, and I've been learning a lot about the brain over the last 18 months. And breathing is important. Like when you first get the bad news is to like stop and breathe.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Don't do anything. Stop and breathe for like 90 seconds. There's actually like a theory of the 90 seconds.
Really?
It's what it takes for your,
your response or something.
Yeah. The response part of your brain needs that time and that breath because you immediately go into fight or flight and you need to get the fight or flight part gone. The adrenaline rush has got to die down.
Okay.
And then you can think more clearly.
Okay.
I didn't do that.
Yeah. I
screamed and slammed doors and what has this all been for and how can you be doing this to us? And I have been trying so hard. I made a lot about me.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I look back now and I wish I had appreciated more the courage he was finally taking because it's really hard to be the person breaking up with someone.
But my God, that's so crazy. I mean, maybe I'm just not there yet, but to hear you actually compliment him or think about him, I'm not there. I have nothing good to say yet.
Yeah.
But you're right that it does, I suppose, from their side, take courage to end marriage.
It does take a lot of courage to say I'm not happy and this is not
stand
where I want to be and I know I'm going to hurt you. Nobody, it's not in us to hurt each other.
Yeah.
So a lot of marriages probably go on far too long because –
No one's got the courage to end it
and hurt the other person.
You're right.
And there's lots of other factors, obviously, like finances and children and where you are in your stage of life and things like that that make people have to stay together.
Mm.
But it would be better to do it before wrong things start happening.
I wasn't happy and I wanted out, but I would never have done it. I just did not have the guts. I did not have the courage.
Mm.
But now, that's the one good thing I can say is I'm so thankful that he did have the courage.
Yes.
Because it's what I needed to.
Yes, someone's got to have that courage.
Yeah.
I'm different. I didn't want it
you
to
didn't
end.
Want to be out.
I loved him deeply. And so that's where my real heartbreak came from.
Yeah.
And you saw me. Like,
yes,
I got
it was
very sick. I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. I literally, whatever I ate ran out of me.
Yeah.
My body's response to the stress of it all is kind of unlike anything I'd ever been through before.
Yeah. It was very extreme.
It was extreme, yeah. It was deep grief. And maybe because I was in that really, really deep grief that I had to work my way out of it, and I wanted to work my way out of it as quick as possible for my children.
Mm-hmm. That was going to be my next question. How? Mm. So you've had this news and he's left. How, as a mother, do you get up the next morning and pick up the pieces and keep mumming? And there's how?
I actually think it's a blessing, to be honest, because it gave me purpose.
Yeah.
Two things gave me purpose, my job and my children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think it's important for women to keep their jobs when they start to have kids, to do maternity leave and don't stop working. And I know it's a really hard decision to make, but I was very thankful that I had choices, that I
you
had finances.
Dependent.
I was not dependent. Yep. So it didn't matter what was going on with him. I was like, I know I've got income coming in. I'm fine. And I also had a space and a place to be that gave me purpose, that helped me forget about what I was going through because I had something to do.
God, all these things that I didn't do.
Yeah. And then, right. And then I had kids, so I had to soldier on for them.
Yeah.
And so it actually, that was what helped me in the end, was looking at them and going, I've got to get better. I've got to get out of bed.
How did they handle it?
It was horrific. Telling Millie was really hard. I don't think all three of us will ever forget it. You know, just her just clasping him, you know, that was very hard.
Told them together?
Yeah. Just said Daddy's going to go and he's got a different house to live in. And
because how old was Millie when this happened?
She's nine.
Nine. So she really, she's aware.
Well, she loves her family.
Yeah.
She loves her family. Teddy was different. What was hard with Teddy, he obviously didn't know what was going on, but what was really hard would be the questions he started to have, like little turns of phrases. Where are you going, Mummy? Are you coming back to me, Mummy? Are you coming back to me? And that broke me because that was his way of, I know I'm not going to see you for a few days.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, when he'd say, you're coming back, and he'd just cling to me, you're coming back. And they're both in safe spaces.
Yeah.
They're with their dad.
Yeah.
But they didn't like it. They didn't want
to be. They wanted mum and dad together in their home.
Yeah.
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 So you obviously decided on a custody arrangement.
The first plan of custody is not the plan that we're at now, and that's, I guess, other advice that I would give is it doesn't have to be set in stone.
Trial and error, I think, is really good advice. It's so hard to make those sorts of decisions.
Yeah, and you can't listen to me and be like, she did this, I'm going to do that, because your children are different to my
children.
Your work is different to my work. Your family support
and
system is different.
Even in my experience with having stepchildren and the custody, life changes. I think custody needs to be ever evolving as well, because sometimes the kids, they have different needs, people move, job opportunities. It really should be a lot more fluid. So I think you're right with that.
Well, and I've got a unique job. I'm
you
not
do.
There in the mornings.
Yeah.
So
how do you work that?
So we were all over the place. So it was, you know, my mum and dad coming to help me in the beginning, to then going, well, this is silly. Like, we're both in a space where he can do mornings, I can do afternoons.
Yeah.
Right? So that's
kind of – work together.
So we just work together on it.
Yeah,
so it's not like you get 3 days, you get 4 days, which we did in the beginning. It was like – because Teddy was so little, the advice was that he can't be away from his primary carer for more than 2 days.
Yep.
That's me.
Yep.
So we literally did 2 days, 2 days, 2 days, 1 day, 2 days,
oh,
two
God.
Days, 2 days, 1 day. But then the child psychologist that we had Millie in was like, that's not good for her. Great for him, but not good for her with the big age gaps. So then, well, how do we do this? And so we came to this very strange agreement, and every family can do it differently. It depends on how amicable they are. So it's him in the mornings, me in the afternoons, every second weekend. But now we're so far progressed from that. We have family days. We have dinners together. He stays over. I stay over. It's just whatever the children need. Millie went through a stage. She didn't want to go to his house.
Yeah.
So then it was like, well, we can't have her not seeing you. So you're just going to come here. Yeah. And on it went. So we're just very fluid.
I think it's amazing that you have gone from that deep hurt to now having family days.
Yes.
The family days are what I think is incredible. It's that you still get together for the kids.
Yeah.
I think that's hugely important personally. Mm. Do you think that that has made this a little bit easier on the kids?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They ask for it.
They do.
Yeah, they ask for
so
it.
So they're still happy? Like they.
Oh, and Teddy's like, is it mummy day? Is it daddy day? Is it family day?
It doesn't get their hopes up, you don't think that
mummy definitely.
Day, yeah, it does.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And my hopes are up, his hopes are up.
Yeah.
Like we don't know where we're at. We just, like I said, he's got his journey that he's doing over there and I've got my journey.
Yeah.
And we're just at the moment just focusing on doing it as best we can with as much kindness as we can all the step of the way.
It sounds like you've gotten to a place that it's just really, really quite lovely. Are there still times that it's, oh, you just want to tear his head off for what's happened? Because it's sounding like a fairy tale at the moment.
It's not
like
a fairy
this is
tale.
The best breakup ever.
No, it's not a fairy tale.
It's not a fairy tale.
Yeah. And you're triggered by things. You're triggered by a song. You're triggered by
when you least expect
saying, yeah, we could be having the best family day ever. And then a sentence is saying.
Are you still hurt?
Oh, I don't think I'll ever not be.
Yeah. You're still heartbroken.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever not be.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, the rule is meant to be that you hate them.
Mm.
You hate them and there's meant to be so much anger and hatred and tearing the other person down. And it doesn't have to be that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I won't say that stuff didn't happen in the very beginning.
It always happens.
Right?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
There was quite a few months of just a lot of bitterness and hurt and he said, she said and screaming matches and like hysterical crying, you know, like, God, like stalking almost. And I'm saying this is me, like, I don't know whether people know this, but like on WhatsApp, you can see the last time people are on WhatsApp, right? So, yeah, so I'm like on WhatsApp and I'm like, he's online right now. And then I'm trying to see all the other people that are online at the same time.
What time did he go to bed last night? That was late. Where was he until that time?
Exactly.
Oh, I did that.
Yeah, and because I don't want to romanticize that I did go through that deep grief of, I can't let go yet. So what is he up to? Where is he? Who
Absolutely.
Is he with? And then like the
stalking anyone that he might be connected with on Instagram and looking at their stories to see if you can spot him even in the background so you know where they are. And you turn into a full-blown crazy person for a little bit there.
You absolutely do.
Yeah.
And that is almost a part of the process though.
I think it is.
Like you have to kind of go through that and then you check yourself. You sort of get to a point where you're like,
I'm really crossing the line of crazy town here.
Yeah. And respecting his space.
Yeah. And yourself.
Mm, and yourself. That is such a good point.
That was where I got to. I got to a point of going, oh, my God, what am I doing? This is not who I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you do. And that's probably the point everyone goes through. I don't know who I am anymore.
Yeah.
And that is a big thing too because this podcast is about not just a mum.
Yeah.
You're not just a wife either.
And that's a big learning curve. What's been your journey? What have you done to get through?
Therapy. I almost need to like draft, I think, for people like your breakup checklist.
I think you do.
Which is the minute it happens to find yourself a GP and maybe get some Valium.
That's what you told me to do.
I know. I don't want to promote it if anyone has addiction problems, but it certainly did help me.
Well, I think it's important, maybe even if it's not that people are comfortable doing that, but I think it's important on that note, I agree, get to a GP for your mental health because I don't...
Get a mental health plan immediately.
Get a mental health plan immediately because it is rough on your mental health.
Yes.
Even if you are the strongest, most sane person, they say it's divorce is as hard as going through a death.
Yes.
It's awful.
Yeah, I wish there was like a document that was, okay, they've left you or you're leaving them, whichever it is, and the first thing is go to the GP, get a mental health plan. The mental health plan might be a Valium and, you know, referrals to whatever psychologist you can get into.
Yeah.
And like the second thing is surround yourself with people who are not going to fill you with hate.
Yes.
That are not going to hate on the other partner.
I have to comment on that one because I think that was probably out of all the advice you gave me, that was one of the most important ones that I took because at that moment I wanted everyone around me to hate him as much as I was hating him. But when you said that, I thought, no, you're right. I don't need...
He's the father of your child.
He's the father of my child and I don't need to be filled with that. And I think that was really important. And I set boundaries in the early days with my close friends and family saying, I don't want to bag him out. I don't want to hate him. I don't want sides. Mm-hmm. I just need you to be there for me.
Yes.
And I think setting those boundaries early on helped a lot because hate is just toxic.
Yes. Yeah. And you're allowed to be disappointed.
Yes.
Obviously.
Of course.
But if people start to... feed it, you actually get more in a tiz.
Yeah, you do.
Rather than focusing on the real purpose, which is...
Healing. Yeah.
Mm. It's over. How do we move forward beautifully? When you have children.
Focusing on you.
If you don't have kids, go and hate them. Whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, go and hate them and go drinking and go partying and go dancing on tables. Like, if that's how you're going to get over your grief, go and do that.
Yeah.
But it is different when you are a parent.
Yeah.
Alcohol... was another one I was told from the GP. He said, I'm giving you Valium, but also I don't want you to drink.
Yeah.
It's a depressant.
Yes.
You are already heartbroken.
Yeah.
Don't drink. And a lot of people, when they break up, friends turn up with the wine and they're like, righto, let's toast to him and his downfall, you know,
or
he's an asshole, da 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 da. You actually need the opposite. You need friends to come around and go,
have a
righto.
Nice cup of tea.
Yeah, have a cup of tea. We're going on a spa day. We're going for a big walk.
Yeah.
That's another thing on my list. Healthy choices. Another thing on my list is exercise. Choose exercise. And not exercise like I'm getting my body back or whatever to be really hot for the next guy.
It is, to rub it in his face.
Right. It's not that.
And let's not lie. I did that.
Well, but that narrative is out there and, yeah, you might want to rub it in their face and all that kind of stuff.
I did for a minute until I decided, you know what, I don't actually like exercising this much. This is too much work.
Well, see, I needed the exercise for my head. I feel better when I run.
Yeah.
And that helped almost run out the hate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like some days I'd be like running and muttering to myself.
I'm like, motivation.
And then I get it out so that when I go to my children.
You're happy.
They're happy. And there's power in positivity. There's power in words.
Yeah.
So if you're choosing positive words, then that's what will eventually happen in your life. And, you know, speaking positively about the other person, regardless of how they've hurt you or why they hurt you, eventually they'll see it and then they'll respect you back too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. This is, we are talking about everyone being of sound mind. Sound mind.
Yes. How far down the track are you now?
Oh, gosh, is it 18 months?
18 months.
I do remember the date. Mm.
I know that you're still undecided as to where things are going, but have you thought about dating and putting yourself back out there?
Yeah, so I went on a couple of dates.
You did?
Yeah. I was not in a space to, like...
It was before you were ready, you reckon?
Oh, yeah, and the amount of people that say, you should just go on a date, and I'm like...
Everyone says that.
Do you know, this is how I compared it, right? If he had died and I was a widow,
Would you be saying that?
I don't think anyone would have dared said that to me.
No.
So why is it different if I'm the one that loved him?
And you're grieving.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's where I was at. It's not for me.
Yeah.
I need to have moved through everything. And that day will come. People asked about my weight a lot because I did lose a lot.
Yeah.
And one day I just wanted to eat all of the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And I did. And that's what I think will happen with anybody going through a breakup. One day you'll want to eat the chocolate cake. The chocolate cake might not be chocolate cake.
Whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Obviously, me going through it a little bit behind you, it's a lot for me to hear everything that you have been through. And here you are sitting in front of me, so happy and so glowing. And you have so much knowledge and hindsight in all of this.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, Jared and I are still working on a lot of things. I guess I'm hopeful for... reconciliation, to be honest, but things have to be different and it'll be a different space and place.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't happen, I've got low expectations.
Right.
I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but
so you're another, hoping that you can still save your marriage?
Well, I'm hoping to have a family.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, it makes perfect sense. I think that's why...
An uncomplicated family.
But I think that at the end of the day, that's why you do often go back. Sometimes it's not just for them. It's not just for you. It's you want your family.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want it for me. I want it for my kids.
Yeah.
I want it for extended family.
Yeah.
But I can't say that that's the path. So one thing I've learned through this journey is low expectations means you're not disappointed.
This is sad but true.
So if you're going on a holiday, I don't think it's going to be the best holiday ever. Almost be like, if it's a great holiday, it's a great holiday. Yep. If it's not, it's not. If like COVID has taught any of us anything, it's just to not get too excited about things.
Anything.
Because you just, next minute someone's got COVID and the whole wedding's off, the whole holiday's off.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
What have you learned?
I think at my age, I'm 45 and I've got two kids. When you want to have children and you haven't had your children yet, you're just always on the search for the guy because your body clock is so loud. Mm-hmm. And so you might hook up with the wrong guy just because you want kids. There's a great book you can read. Everyone, I suggest reading Alison A. Armstrong, Understanding Women. And she talks about how if you haven't had your children yet, your search for your partner is very different to if you've already got children and you don't have the body clock screaming at you, right? Yeah.
You can think with more of a logical mind.
And that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Right? So it's through this learned that I don't need a partner to be happy and to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely bonus.
Yeah.
Because I've had my children, I don't have that gnawing thing going, I need
have
to
the babies. Baby,
have the babies, have the babies, go out, find a guy, find a guy, find a guy, find a guy. So for me, I just want to be happy, and happiness doesn't necessarily mean with somebody. So I'm happy if I'm in a musical, I'm happy at work, I'm happy with my girlfriends, I'm happy with my family, I'm doing a lot of things differently.
You're not relying on someone else for your happiness, you're creating your own.
Yeah, and that's what I learned through this. I guess that's, you've summed it up. Thank you. You should be a therapist.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense to people that might be listening going through a breakup. If you haven't had children yet, you might be picking the wrong person because that body clock is so loud.
It is.
Right? And I don't want to do that. It's got to be the right person. So if it's Jared, great. If it's not,
it's still got to be
nobody,
the right person.
Yeah. I'm not going to complicate the kids' lives with a need that I might have.
Well, I think you're incredible. You know that. But thank you for sharing your story. From the outside looking in, you have handled a marriage breakdown as best as I think anyone possibly could.
Yeah.
So kudos to you. You're a huge inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
And thank
it's
you
hard
sharing.
To hear those things, but honestly, I didn't, like, it was not done alone.
Yeah.
And that's the best advice I can give is to therapy, good people around you, good books, good podcasts. And
healthy
just
choices.
Healthy choices. Search for love.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I love that. Search for love.
Mm.
In the next episode of More Than Just a Mum, we'll be talking to psychologist Monique Harding about relationships and mental health post-baby.